Hey, girlfriend! That is such a wonderful greeting, and the phrase has transcended the American culture to become a universal call-out for women's friendships. But our next guest asks several important questions about your friendships. For example, do you have friends who are really there for you? And could you name the top three women you'd call if your life suddenly fell apart? Well, regardless of your answer, you need to listen to these two girlfriends who co-authored the new book, Women I Want to Grow Old With, subtitled Growing Old Together with Courage, Health, and Attitude, and in this case, lots of attitude. They are Diane Gage Lofgren. Welcome to Body Language.
Great to be here, Chris.
And Margaret Bola.
Hi, Chris.
One of the most fascinating chapters, and this resonates with me because my daughter is 27 years old and graduated from high school in 2003 and has maintained this enormous cadre of virtual friends. Chapter 6 is Virtual Friends, Not Letting Distance Deter Us. Why is that important?
It's so important, Chris, because people are mobile today.
Mm-hmm.
They're moving for jobs. They might move because they want a different kind of lifestyle, or they leave a certain job in the same city and they don't have their circle of friends. So people want to stay connected. Now, while we can stay connected with all the forms of social media, when we talked to women, what they said is they wanted as much face-to-face time as possible or voice-to-voice time. So we have ideas in our book like calling each other up and having a virtual glass of wine.
Ah.
Margaret, give some other examples.
Well, we had a number of women who actually had rituals that they participated in. One group of women met annually, and they did a sailboat adventure in the Bay Area, complete with tablecloth and fine china and silverware, and really enjoyed themselves. Pretty upscale way of gathering.
In fact, Margaret, that is chapter 9 in the book, Group mm-hmm. Rituals and Retreats. A wonderful opportunity not only to get to know people, but actually to make the time to take the time as the case mm-hmm. may be, to get together with people either annually or perhaps more often. That's really crucial, isn't it? I mean, that's one of the hallmarks of your book.
Yes, making dates to get together, keeping them, committing to them.
Right.
We have so many great examples. One is a woman who said, I don't really have any friends close by. I've moved recently. And so she reached out to women in her neighborhood and said, hey, once a year, let's go to a spa retreat. And they've done that now for a number of years. We have another woman who gets together with women she calls circle.
Mm.
They get together at the beach, they rent a house, and what is said in the circle stays in the circle. Those women may not see each other regularly for coffee or walks,
mm-hmm.
but once a year they're together.
But friendships struggle along just as the years pass, people's relationships with one another and you change too. How do you rise above these challenges where someone becomes angry or there's an event in their life that just isn't working, and they look at you like, time to write this one off. How do you get beyond that? Or do you?
Margaret, I think, what we learned was that we can ask each other, what am I committed to? And so one of the things I think is so important is to say, is this riff at the moment bigger than our friendship? Sometimes, and Margaret, you can talk about, sometimes we do need to have people not in our lives for a while, right?
Yes. Well, that's part of what we address in the book, is when to let go. But life is, or a conversation is very, very different, and life is very, very different when you're inside of what we call a committed conversation for friendship, that we're both committed to friendship. And it's our belief that anything can be worked out inside of open and honest communication, as long as both parties are grounded in that commitment for friendship to last a lifetime.
Diane, in the book under Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow, you said when your dad died after 60 years of marriage, my mother literally had no friends left. And I will tell you, my dad, who died at age 59 of an aneurysm, left my mother you know, very, very comfortable, but uncomfortable because she hadn't taken the time during her lifetime to develop close friendships. That was actually a very, very difficult time for her. However, you go on to say, although she, your mother, boldly tried to make friends at age 80, women in their 70s acted as though she were too old for them, and married women were afraid they'd what?
She'd steal her their husbands.
Oh, no!
Yes. And it's so sad. And what we're hoping is that this generation of women won't do that to each other. I think what we want is women who can say, you know, I might be 30, but you're 50 and interesting. I'd like to be your friend. We have a woman in our book who has what she calls a church mother. She's in her 50s and the church mother is approaching 100. And she gets so much out of the relationship and vice versa.
You're really redefining what friendship is, too. I mean, this is a guidebook. It is a roadmap. It has tremendous inspirational qualities. It's a fabulous gift for friends, family, and colleagues. But it also, the book, Women I Want to Grow Old With, by Diane Gage Lofgren and Margaret Bolla, really gives people permission to be themselves and explore new ways to cultivate friendships, much like the one you just described with the older women.
Right, right. We don't want women to put friendship in a box. We want women to think, if someone's got something that they can offer me, that I can offer them, it's really about caring for and respecting a relationship. It doesn't mean that we have to have everything in common. A few things in common often spark a relationship, but actually sometimes it's what we don't have in common that makes the friendship more interesting. And we have women who have actually met people and thought at first blush, I can't be their friend. The minute they did their first thing together, saw how much energy and excitement that woman brought to their life.
You actually have an entire section, or you certainly address the issue on diversity and having a wide range of friendships, many of which I'm sure, as you just suggested, people thought that they would never have with someone who was just so completely different. Why is that valuable?
Margaret, I'll take the first pass, and then I'd love you to chime in. What we have found is that women of different ages or cultural backgrounds just add so much diversity in our life, so a different way of thinking. We have two women in the book. One lives in India. One lives in Switzerland. Mm-hmm. They met at an event, and they have become great friends, and it's because they don't live next to each other. One of them thinks that makes the friendship just last so much longer, but they're so different, yet they have many common interests. In fact, even though you might imagine they look very different, one from Switzerland, one from India, they were walking in a shop and someone asked them if they were sisters. They had developed that much camaraderie.
That's one of the fascinating things about the book, is that you all are permission givers. And I have said this before, and much as our colleague, Quinn Studer, would say, this book is a fire starter. It is a conversation starter, and it's inspirational and provides a very passionate, engaging roadmap for people to start. Because that's, gee, I'd love to have more friends, but I don't have the time. Where do I start? No one's my age. They all, you know, they're different than I am. They don't speak the same language as I do. You transcend all of those sort of primary fears and non-starters and give people a real action plan.
We do. And, you know, one of the things we say is we've got to stop the 222 talk.
222?
Yes. She's too pretty. She's too old. She's too different than I am. You know, she doesn't work. I do. All those comparisons we make that are barriers to reaching out to someone.
Do you have the courage? Are you willing to take the incentive and say, hey, girlfriend, you are a woman I want to grow old with? And that's the name of the book, Women I Want to Grow Old With, subtitled Growing Old Together with Courage, Health, and Attitude. Lots of wonderful attitude on the part of co-authors Diane Gage Lofgren and Margaret Bolla. Diane and Margaret, thank you so much for joining us today on Body Language.
Our pleasure, Chris. Thanks so much. And all those women out there, reach out.
And thank you, Chris. It's a privilege to be on your show.
Oh, no, it's my privilege. Now you're supposed to say, oh, no, no, it's my...
Oh, no.
I'm Christopher Springman. You're listening to Body Language on Radio MD.